When did you learn that you were going to be part of this Time magazine feature?
I learned that the Silence Breakers were going to be the Time Person of the Year this morning on the Today Show with everyone else. We'd gone there a few weeks ago to take photos as part of what they said was a story about the issues, but we didn't know it was going to be the Person of the Year issue.
Of course, your story at the University of Rochester and the complaint about how the university handled sexual harassment allegations against Professor Yeager, that came out earlier in the year. And now since then, there has been this incredible movement. Some people call it a moment of reckoning. What influence do you think that will have on stories like yours?
I'm not sure what influence it will have, but I hope that it will empower more women that are in positions where they're experiencing harassment or they've experienced assault or they're being retaliated for having complained about it. I hope that will empower them to know that if it feels wrong, like it's wrong, and that they have allies in the world that they can go to for support and advice. I hope it will empower more women to fight, to get justice for what's right, and also to get support to protect themselves as they're pursuing their careers or their educations.
What did you think about the sheer ubiquity of these reports from Capitol Hill to state houses around the country, workplaces around the country, to Hollywood? Did you think it was that widespread?
I did think it was that widespread. Like, I am sad to report. As like a lot of the industries that are reporting the biggest problems are areas where there's a lot of consolidated power among a few people and not avenues for people to report if they're having problems, not avenues for women to report if they're being harassed. In academia, like your professor, your advisor holds all the cards in terms of determining whether or not you get to go to the next stage of graduate school or on to a career. I think that feature where there's a few people that hold all the cards is also similar in both politics and academia, politics and Hollywood.
The fact that so many women and men are speaking up now and finding their voice. Do you feel that this will change the attitude and the behavior of people who are committing acts of sexual harassment?
I don't know if it will change their behavior. I don't know what drives them. Whose behavior I hope it changes is the institutions. I hope that the expectation that victims won't say anything, which I think is part of what goes into institutional decisions and institutional policies, I hope that they know that that's not true anymore, and that women are finding their voice and they're going to speak out if their civil rights are violated.
At the time the complaint was made earlier in the year, did you ever imagine that sexual harassment would become part of a national conversation like this?
I did not imagine that when we wrote the EEOC complaint. When I was reading it, when it was all laid out, when I could see how many other women were affected, I was like, it's now up to 16 that were impacted by Florian Yeager's harassment. I knew that if somebody read that document, they would understand like what the problem was, what the severity was. I thought that I hoped that some people in academia would read it. I didn't expect it to take off the way that it did, and I did not expect it to be part of a national conversation about these issues. But I'm so happy that it is, and that is the direction that it's gone, because of the stakes. The stakes here are high. The stakes here aren't me. I was like, I am in an unusual case of somebody who experienced these things, was not crushed. I was like, I'm still here. I was like, I have a professor job. I haven't been shut out. We raised our concerns because of concerns for our students and for future generations of women that are trying to pursue their dreams.